Hello everybody and welcome to Wikipedia Wanderers. It's Josh with me again. Say hello, Josh.
Hello.
Are you a cult hero? Does anyone think you're a cult hero? Because that's what we're discussing today.
No, I don't think so. But I do enjoy a cult hero.
Do you? Good.
Yeah.
We're going to get onto them in a sec. So for those that don't know, we're talking about cult heroes that are pretty much rubbish, but for some reason, fans love them. And rubbish can be determined by very many things. People can be rubbish at your club and go on to do better things, like one of my cult heroes and a cult hero of my club. But there's also other cult heroes. Now, Josh and I do, believe it or not, a little bit of research before these shows. A tiny little wee bit. And we both searched on Google for cult heroes in Wikipedia. Cult heroes in football, sorry, Wikipedia, to see who came up. Now, I got two people that came up in Google when I searched. One of them is Divock Origi, who does have a cult following of fans from Liverpool, mainly for Champions League final, I think we'd say.
The Champions League match before the semi-final, he scored. Didn't he tuck away Trent Alexander-Arnold's whipped-in cross? He scored in Merseyside Derby when, you remember, Jordan Pickford kind of tipped it back.
And yes. Headed.
Big moments he showed up, but overall... Nah.
Yeah.
Now of Nottingham Forest.
Now of Nottingham Forest, true. And the other one I got in my search was Noah Rahman, who none of us will know. He's a Singaporean footballer, which is actually a good find given that I live in Singapore. Got cult hero for the Singapore national team because he won back-to-back titles and had a goal-going shot block. That's a terrible way of describing it. He blocked a shot that was going in from Thailand in the final, which meant Singapore won the 2007 AZN Football Federation Championship, and that's not Asian being said wrongly, that is AZN for the Association of Southeast Asia Nations Football Federation Championship. So they're the two I got. Did you get the same?
No, I got two different ones. So I got Robin Friday, who I'm not familiar with, but is apparently a cult hero for Cardiff and Reading, and he has a book about him called The Greatest Footballer You Never Saw, which sounds interesting.
That does sound interesting, yeah.
The second player, a name we're all familiar with, is a one-club man. 265 appearances for them in the Premier League. Never appeared for England. Tony Hibbert.
Tony Hibbert. Right wing, right, well, right back.
Well,
right
there's no right wing back about it. That is solid as you like. Right back. He never scored a goal. Didn't score a goal.
True.
At all. League Cup. 328 appearances in all competitions for Everton, zero goals. That's actually upset me a little bit, finding that.
Do you think is that a record in professional football? In the Premier League, that might be a record for most games played without scoring for an outfield player.
I agree. I think that should be a stat which is rolled out and is kept live throughout the season. The player with the most Premier League appearances, excluding goalkeepers, without a goal.
Without a goal.
Either in their career... or the longest time without scoring, if they might have scored in their first appearance. Because I want to know who's, you know, in this match, we've got, you know, this player's not scored for 72 games. Okay, let's hope he scores. Because in Football Manager, that'd be the guy who scores against you.
Yeah, that's his first goal of the season. And normally, as well, to touch on last week's episode, it's a last-minute winner. It's his first goal of the season.
Yeah, it'd be a bit of worldy as well, yeah.
Yeah. Right then, Josh. So into the questions. That was what we tried to do a bit of research, but this is more of a personal... sort of away from Wikipedia. We'll dive into stats if we need them from Wikipedia. But from a Spurs point of view, now I don't think people focus on other teams' cult heroes.
No, it's not widely spoken about. It's very much the feeling you get as a fan of your own club. So I think it's very hard to determine other cult heroes. Because why would that be a cult hero? What have they done to you? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So educate me. Spurs. Cult heroes, in your opinion, for Spurs?
So I would say, first of all, you've got Eric Lamella.
Oh, okay.
Scored some absolute worldies, but I think mainly because he was just a bastard. He was just, he would always slide into challenges. He has that moment where he stands on Cesc Fabregas' hand in the Battle of Stamford Bridge, He was just, there's that moment where he winds up, I think, Jack Grealish. It's that shithousing which has got him at that level of cult hero status.
Okay. I didn't expect that. Any others?
Oh, loads. Alan Nielsen. Okay. scored the winner in the Worthington Cup final in 1998, something like that.
Yeah.
Yunus Kabul. Not really yet. I don't know. I think people quite enjoyed him. He did obviously get the assist in the to send us into the Champions League for the first time. He was parried by Martin Fulop, headed in by Peter Crouch, who also would get cult hero status, partly due to his size and his shape, I think.
Do you think Crouch is cult hero
Portsmouth? I think if you're looking for multiple cult heroes, I think you've got Peter Crouch as a really good name there.
Okay.
Mentioned last week's podcast, Paul Stalteri.
Yeah.
For the last minute winner. Gary Doherty. Is that a name that rings any bells for you?
Wasn't he striker/centre-back?
Yeah, signed him from Luton, I think, now back in Premier League, for $1 million. Ginger Pele. Mainly a centre-back, but because he could be a bit of a target man, grabbed a few goals, well, more than Tony Hibbert, when deployed up front. Sandro, the Brazilian defensive mid, because he really had that link between fan and club. He was just really, seemed to get it. He seemed to really support us and was just got it. Same with Benoit Assou-Ekotto.
Yeah.
He used to drive around London in his smart car, he's sitting on the tube, and just, again, that bridge, that gap was just so down to earth. I think that really helps sometimes to bring that down to earth character.
Was it Assou-Ekotto that didn't like football? Correct. Like, I'm doing this because it's a job.
Yeah, similar to Ben White. Doesn't have any joy of football. Just his job,
Just while we're touching on that, I don't know if you've listened to a recent Peter Crouch podcast or anything, obviously a very good show, but recently had Wayne Bridge on, and he was talking to Wayne Bridge, and basically it was like, there's rumours that you don't actually enjoy football. And Wayne Bridge was like, oh, no, I've always liked football. I just don't understand the fan perspective of wasting hours of your day watching it. Like, so he'd watch the highlights. Yeah. He was like, I don't understand why you'd have like an hour, 2 hours to get to the game, then watch it, and then sit in traffic for an hour, 2 hours after. Or why you would go and watch something that isn't your team on TV. Or do this. I found that really interesting. Like,
I found that a slap in the face.
Well, yeah, so...
Wasting, right?
Anyway, back to your cult hero list, yeah.
Now, here's the difficult bit where it gets... Because the better the player are, the less likely I'm able to label him as cult hero. But I'm going to put Van der Vaart in there.
Okay,
yeah. 2 seasons with us. Scored a lot of goals against Arsenal in that period. Shushed them. It was just majestic. It was just so good as a footballer. And... I mean, his time got cut short due to Andre Villas Boas, AVB. Didn't see a place for him, and so he went. Gone.
Yeah.
We've got 2 more names.
Okay.
One, because he was so bad and then became less bad.
Yeah.
Moussa Sissoko.
Okay.
Was just...
You were a big fan of Moussa Sissoko.
I hated the guy.
Oh, okay. I'm obviously getting confused with someone else. But.
Yeah, he was just didn't have the time. He tried Dembele, really hard.
Dembele. I was getting you confused. I'm getting Sissoko confused with Dembele.
Yeah, that's two. They were chalk and cheese. But yeah, so Sissoko had a really tough time, but then, you know, tried really hard. He actually, he would have got the pre-assist for Lucas Moura's goal. He hoofed it up the pitch. Was nodded down. Actually, no, it was a pre-assist. I'm giving him too much credit here. He hoofed the ball up the pitch and he... last throws of a dice in the semi-final against Ajax. That's the best thing he did.
Right.
But the other player I mentioned is Fernando Llorente.
Oh, wow.
He was one of the only backup strikers we've ever had, because we just don't like to have backup strikers.
Yeah.
Harry Kane, so often being the only striker. We then sign Richarlison as a backup, then get rid of Harry Kane. It's like, oh my goodness. But Fernando Llorente, he had a moment with his hip. Scored with his hip against Man City. He obviously had a few moments in that game against Ajax, but yeah, I know, it's kind of clutch moments, I'd say.
Yeah, fair enough. Nice.
A fair few names on the list there.
Yeah, that's a lot more than I was expecting, to be honest about that. So, I mean, what do you think Man United, who do you think I say is a cult hero at Man United? Let's say, I mean, I've got a a list of players and I could pull some more out of my head.
Okay. Well, let's try and get three. I'll name them and you say where they stand on a cult stage. I say, first thing to mind, Park Ji-sung.
Yes, he's definitely, he's on my, probably my five, top five cult heroes for me personally. Yeah.
I'd say John O'Shea might get in there.
Number two on my list. He would be number two on my list, John O'Shea. Definitely.
Is Solskjaer too good to be cult hero? Because obviously he wins the Champions League final, which gives you cult hero status, but then he's just done a lot. He's scored a lot of goals otherwise.
I think he does count as a cult hero because I don't think he was actually ever the best footballer. He was a really good finisher. I don't think he was necessarily the best footballer, but I can understand that. I would say he is a cult hero, but I think that's wrapped up in a lot of the Champions League win and, okay, and everything. So, yeah, potentially.
What about, I'm going to say, a goalkeeper? So maybe I don't know if he had a bad spell, but Taibbi, is he going to get cult hero because he just...
No. Definitely not. Definitely
Barthez,
not.
Barthez, because he was just so weirdly erratic?
Again, I think there are people that would claim Barthez as a cult hero. I don't think he got that sort of status because he wasn't there long enough, potentially.
How long was he there?
2 seasons, and then we farmed him back off to Marseille. So it was in halfway through his second season, I think, we farmed him back off to Marseille. Or third season, sorry. 2 full seasons. Halfway through the third season, we farmed him off to Marseille. For me personally, I'd say no. Fabian Barthez didn't quite do enough for cult hero status. Interesting, you've not got the number one spot. Well, my number one spot.
We spoke about it previously, and it's a last minute winner. Makeda?
Is that No. He does have it. He is listed on a Man United cult hero list of things I've looked at, but not for me. He came from Uruguay and he made the Scousers cry.
Oh, Diego Forlan.
Diego Forlan, definite cult hero. Worked really hard. Took 2 seasons to score his first league goal, and scored against Liverpool to give us a 2-1 win. After Jerzy Dudek dropped a pretty rubbish cross from someone, I can't remember who it was, dropped it, went to bring it into his chest, dropped it through his legs, and Diego Forlan said thank you very much, put it in open goal, took his shirt off and celebrated like he won the World Cup final. Yeah, Diego Forlan's definitely my number one, but there's quite a few for Man United. Antonio Valencia definitely has a cult hero status.
Yes, I'd say so, because that was a really weird move, and he came from Wigan as a kind of explosive right winger, but really quite limited. And became basically a right back, didn't he?
Yeah, it was basically right back. Yeah, right back. I would potentially Luke Chadwick for some as cult hero status.
Yeah. Gabriel Heinzer?
Gabriel Heinzer is one, but I think tarnished because of the move to Liverpool.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, he did move to Liverpool, didn't he?
Yeah, he moved to Liverpool. A personal one for me is Louis Saha.
I like Louis. Do you know what? I like Louis Saha at Spurs as well.
Yeah, I think that was a good one. And then going back a bit further in time, I'm torn between picking one from the same sort of era, but like Henning Berg or David May.
David May didn't play a single minute of Champions League football, but is always like front and centre of any Champions League celebration I see. It's like, mate.
Exactly, okay. Cult hero.
Yeah.
Cult hero. And Henning Berg was just a good, solid defender who never really performed as he should, but for some reason got this really big following from Man United and was...
Is he just better or worse than Ronny Johnson? You've got your 3 centre-backs there. Who are you picking? Ronny Johnson, Henning Berg or David May?
Are we as a cult hero cult, or to start in the game?
Cult.
For me, probably David May leads the cult status there, I think. If I'm picking a starting defender out of all of them, it's Ronny Johnson. So, yeah. So, and then the final one I was sort of thinking of was potentially Jesper Blomqvist. Again, just... Came in a big game in the Champions League final, started the Champions League final because of suspension to Roy Keane. So David Beckham went into the middle, Jesper Blomqvist started on the right. It was just Jesper Blomqvist is just an interesting player. He should have been so much better than he was. But also he shouldn't have been because he was signed from the Swedish league.
That's what I was about to have a look at him. So,
Parma, sorry, signed from Parma.
Gabriel Heinzer is now Newell's old boy manager, out of interest.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Jesper Blomqvist, signed from Parma, had Milan, Gothenburg, and then Umeå before that. Went on to Everton, Charlton, Djurgården, Enkoping, and Hammarby again. So, okay.
Okay. Guess the final one, but I think he could be classed as too good for being a cult hero, is Dennis Irwin. Because he was amazing.
How do you reckon a Dennis Irwin would get on in this day and age? Would he be a Premier League footballer?
Nah, I don't think so. Championship. He'll be a a championship squad player, I think, in this day and age. Well, a fullback that can play either side with both feet. And he was athletic for his day.
This it's is so the difficulty. Funny. Look at that. You think I think of him as like so bland and so boring. But he took like penalties and free kicks yeah. for sure, didn't he? Yeah.
They took penalties enough in the.
It just seems like he just kind of trudged around. It feels like you could easily see him playing non-league in my head, but I wouldn't have watched a match of him in for years.
There's an interesting clip where he runs up the left, and he puts a pass into Eric Cantona, and Cantona does a really like nonchalant flick over the defender's head, and the ball goes to, I want to say Mark Hughes, I think, who finishes it, but Dennis Irwin's bombed on for an overlap for a 1-2 with Eric Cantona and starts having a massive go at him, and then obviously it ends in a goal, and it was the first time I've ever really saw Dennis Irwin as like this angry man having a go at Eric Cantona, even though Man United just scored.
I imagine, but he was like the yeah. consummate professional and just demanded and just kind of wanted that level of
professionalism from everybody else. That's how I saw him. Yeah, I think
he's the joint from. Most successful Irish footballer in history. A record he shares really? With Roy Keane.
Roy Keane, yeah.
Who did Dennis Irwin join after Man United?
Wolves, I think.
He did.
At the age of like 34 or something.
37. Very old. 37, it would have been.
37? Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, he played 37 to 39.
Wow, that is too old to be playing for Wolves. Were Wolves champion or League One back then, or were they...
They would have been. We actually had one season in the first division, one season in the Premier League with them.
Wow, bloody hell! Okay. So you've gone through your list of Spurs, and we've looked at the Man United people that I think Man United are cult heroes. Away from Spurs, who is your cult hero? If you had to pick, let's go top three if you can think of it, and we'll talk about number one in a bit more detail about why. But if you had to think of a cult hero away from Spurs, someone that you've just been fascinated with for potentially no reason, or Football Manager or something like that.
Okay, yeah. So it comes down to flair and just seeing that ability, but never. So, and it is Football Manager related as well. Alvaro Recoba.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And so I remember for some reason it's left footers. It's Alvaro Recoba. And Sinisa Mihailovic are two that really spring to mind.
Yeah.
That it was just this kind of... And it's Serie A. When we grew up, Serie A was the league, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Premier League hadn't really, yeah. And just like just displayed absurd technique. And I remember like I play games and Alvaro Recoba was like amazing stats in his games. I mean, you watch a match, you're like, oh, he didn't really do much. But there was this... And I might be misremembering here, but I've got a memory of Inter Milan versus Newcastle in what would have been the UEFA Cup, I imagine, at that point. And one, because they both took left-footed, like really swazzy free kicks, and one of them scores an absolute blooter of a free kick, and I can never remember which one it is. I need to find this game and see if it ever happened, or I've just completely constructed this in memory. But because... Yeah, I find that, and Recoba had that kind of, he was banned on a game because I think he had issues with his passport. Yeah, passport. And added to it. It's kind of like, oh, this is exciting.
Would he have been your like number one then of cult heroes? Do you reckon?
No, I think it then goes on to another South American actually, Juan Román Riquelme.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
Just for that, it's just. I find joy in that technique, just the sublime technique he had, and saw him play a little bit. I remember him playing against, I want to say Arsenal. It would have been Villarreal
okay,
in the
yeah.
Champions League. It would have been the time that Arsenal got to the final of the Champions League and got beaten by Barcelona. And just elegance, and it's just that, again, but never really. He had a season or so at Barcelona, but never. It's that kind of, I don't know, failed or kind of damaged superstars where they just couldn't quite, you know, tick all the boxes.
Yeah, similar to one I've got that I think a lot of people have from Football Manager, and potentially some Barcelona fans, Javier Saviola.
Yeah.
Like a huge one in games that would just score so many goals and burst onto the scene at River Plate, was signed by Barcelona and had, I think, one or two seasons where he scored goals for them, but then cropped by injuries. And I think that got him a bit of a cult following, and to do it, and obviously never recovered from it. But there's quite a few like that for me. I mean, a big one for me is Juninho Pernambucano. Literally never saw him play live other than I watched highlights.
Yeah, the Wayne Bridge method. Yeah,
the Wayne Bridge method. Yeah, the Wayne Bridge method. And it was like, the way he hit free kicks has just fascinated me. Like, it absolutely fascinated me, and that's all I wanted to watch. I'd never tried it. I knew I was never good enough to try and replicate it, but I was just like, that is just, he was incredible. He was definitely my probably number one cult hero that I'll never get to see. We're never going to go and see him.
Do we have anyone on our kind of list who aren't great technicians? Like, Tony Hibbert was mentioned as a cult hero. Got to be based on fan love rather than, like, looking from afar. You're not going, oh, God, I doubt there's many Evertonians who have, unless there's some failed right backs out there who love trudging up and down the flank to think of Tony Hibbert. But it's going to be,
I mean, I've got Luka Zahovic is a strange one for me from Maribor, but that's purely because of the club, and when I took them over on FM he just scored me so many goals, and now I've become slightly obsessed with following his career, now currently in Poland in the second division, ripping it up, scoring lots of goals for Poloznan or whatever it is.
Have you ever made contact with him?
No, he's far too famous for that. He's like, he was in like the Slovenian national team when he was like 19.
Yeah.
And then was playing a lot for them, got a bit of an injury, dropped down, went back to Maribor. Because he got signed by Heerenveen in the Eredivisie.
Yeah.
And then it didn't work out for him because of an injury, loaned back to Maribor, and then it's not really picked up since, hence why he's playing in Poland. Actually, it was unfortunate that signed for a Polish team, I think was their top goal scorer in the half season he was there, and they got relegated. So not really his fault, but maybe I should. But a son of the famous Zlatko Zahovic, if you know him from Benfica.
Yes, I definitely do know Zlatko Zahovic, Spurs were linked with him a number of times back in the day.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. There you go. Nice. But yeah. So, okay. Modern day cult heroes, do you think do they still exist? Are they dying out?
I think they're dying out because, I mean, in a sense that the cult hero who's a great technician, I think, is dying out in terms of the player who springs to mind, and also for the work he does off the pitch and how he seems like an absolute lovely guy and great with kids, especially kids with disabilities, is Jack Grealish.
Okay.
I think he just strikes, and he's very down to earth, it seems. He wears his socks low, tick. It's a great, like, first foot forward, best foot forward in becoming a cult hero, low socks. He could have been an absolute hero for Aston Villa being, he was there until he was like 25, 26. But yeah, he strikes me as someone I think would get cult hero status. I think a lot of people admire him.
Does he tarnish or increase his potential cult hero status with his off the pitch actions? He's been done for drink driving, but away from that, he's also been shown over celebrating, let's call it, as a professional athlete, Man City winning the treble, where he's being held up, stumbling down the plane.
Every rational person, that adds to it. For the Karens of this world, that tarnishes it. It's like, no, come on, he's just won the treble. Let him booze it up, and then when he plays on the pitch, oh look, he's good again. Absolutely fine. Yeah. He's not a robot, and drink driving, don't condone it at all. And so that's not good.
Why do you think they are potentially dying out? Is it the short termness of football? Is it the fact that money is so crucial? Is it managers you've mentioned this, I don't know if it's on a podcast or just one of our random chats, but you mentioned that Grealish isn't the player he was when he signed from Villa, and Pep's sort of beaten out of him the
flair. I think it's that element, because football is becoming more robotic, and Grealish epitomises that in a sense of what Man City have become. They're just so controlled. So yeah. Grealish would have been an absolute hero for I mean, any other side, really. He'd have been getting lots more goals and assists, and he'd have been getting people off their seats and, you know, taking on players. Now, he's just so good at maintaining possession in dangerous areas. He can make, City can control the game high up because they can give him a ball, like, in the box. He's going to not get dispossessed and brings it back round and, you know, move the ball round and swing it into Haaland, bang, done. I think that flair nature of players, like, you think of, immediately sprung to mind was Lee Trundle, and that kind of that player who's athletically probably not there, technically brilliant, and just therefore that kind of mercurial talent, they're losing their place in the game. That ability to display that talent is kind of going away, and it has been for many years, not a recent thing, it's many years that's been the case, but physical aspect of football has just gone so advanced that you need to, and whereas you look back in the day and you know how you could, you know, you could booze, you could be drunk playing, but it just isn't really that possible anymore. So I think just by how top level is becoming, has become, it kind of eliminates that. But you still get cult heroes in other senses, in terms of the things they do off the pitch and those moments, the player who scores the goal in the last minute but has done absolutely nothing else. You get that element. But those mercurial talents being that kind of, the streets will never forget type player will be, the streets are forgetting them.
Yeah, interesting. Just talking about Lee Trundle, he was awful when we went and saw him versus, was Lee Trundle, wasn't it?
It was him, wasn't it?
Barla versus Neath. Neath. He was awful. I can't remember him. I was expecting to see lots of flair and twists and turns. Maybe it was the pitch at Barla.
Maybe it's the pressure of knowing that we were watching.
That's true. That's very true. So can you think, if we think about how we tried to define cult hero before, where someone that was not as good for the club as they probably should have been, but loved and adored by fans, can you think of anyone that's actually gone from that sort of status to then be a hero for the club? Or I'm sort of thinking like, because Diego Forlán's an obvious one, but it wasn't a hero at Man United. Afterwards,
that's a good
Atletico
one.
Madrid.
Yeah.
He was incredible, right? But is there anyone that's done it at the club, sort of ridiculed maybe a little bit for not being very good, but being great with the fans, and then actually turned it around? Peter Crouch?
Crouch faced ridicule early on, didn't he, in terms of just his size, his shape? But I think it's really difficult to speak for other fans, but from a Spurs fan's point of view, I'd say Moussa Sissoko becomes one because of just, he actually became a lot better. He was ridiculed, and I think he became a goal hero because he became better. And I think the player currently doing that is Emerson Royale, who was just so derided and was just like, people were booing him, like booing his appearances, which was just horrible. But he really has turned it around. He's a lot better player now. He was shown to put effort, and he spent like a few million pounds in terms of outside of football what he was doing. He was doing different kind of treatments he was doing to get stronger or fitter, or he was spending his own money to improve, to prove himself, which I think just went down so well with fans. So speaking from a Spurs fan point of view, everyone's who strike me as moving the dial.
Nice, that's cool. That's actually all the questions I had for you, really. I've just thought of another cult hero that is purely from me, from a game point of view. Bojan Djordjic. I think I've probably gone on about him a few times to you. Man United left winger, attacking midfield centre, scored a wonderful chip against Celtic in the Champions League. Never seen or heard of again. Like, that was it. That was all he did. And then he went, he was a proper cult hero. I used to sign him on every champ manager.
You did. I was about to say, I thought every there was a link manager. There. Yeah.
Yeah, every champ manager. Yeah. Anyway, you should have a secret question for me, Josh, about cult heroes, so please, fire away.
So, of the current Manchester United squad, is there a cult hero, or who do you think would be most likely to become a cult hero from the current squad?
Now, you ask this at a very interesting time, because I could argue Johnny Evans re-signing could be a cult hero, coming back, trying to force Harry Maguire out of that best or fourth place centre-back spot in the team. I think he could be classed as a cult hero in the current squad, but someone that could potentially get cult hero status?
Who sprung to mind for me is Sergio Reguilón.
No, he's not going to play enough.
But it doesn't, doesn't matter, though. It's not about, it's about moments, isn't it?
True. Yeah, true.
So, for example, Henrik Larsson for you.
Yeah, that's definitely a cult. I don't know how I forgot about that. That's definitely a cult
hero. In what, 2 goals? 3 goals? Yeah,
that's true.
In 6 months alone, something like that? I think there's moments like that where, I mean, chances are he won't be, right? But Sergio Reguilón pops up, scores in, I don't know, Manchester Derby or something like that. It doesn't get re-signed, and it's kind of like, oh, it was better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all.
I feel like, and I hope this doesn't happen, but Garnacho might get that. Garnacho might get cult hero status, where he doesn't achieve what everyone thought he did, but because he's a youth academy player, he's held in this high regard by fans as being, oh, I remember when he did this, or I remember when he did that, this one or two times. I think that he could definitely be one. McTominay is another one. Now that we haven't sold him this summer,
yeah,
he potentially could crop up with some big goals that then give him cult hero status. It's tough. It's tough trying to predict it for your own team, I think, because you want them all to do really well and not be that cult hero because of that status. Yeah,
it does kind of mean they've not lived up to... It even means they've not lived up to their promise, or they're a bad player who's done something really good, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, and the other side of it is obviously the villain side of things, whereas I think I'm not even sure Harry Maguire could turn it around now to be a cult hero.
No, I don't think so. No, I think it's gone. I think it's gone too far. But yeah. Cool. All right.
Well, thank you very much.
That's all right. Not a problem. And thank you all for listening to this week's podcast. We'll be back with another one next week with a topic yet to be decided, actually. So we don't know what we're going to be talking about yet. But thank you so much for listening. If you want a bit more information from us, you can find us on Instagram at Wikipedia Wanderers, or on X, as it's now being called, not Twitter. We don't like that. We're not fans of that, Elon. Change it back. We're at Wikipedia Wanderers there as well, where, again, you can probably see Josh getting into some arguments about Tottenham and Tottenham's going on and Spurs and what's happening. So if you're into that, go follow us and we'll get you next week. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.